So I'll ask Danny to come up. For those of you who don't know, Danny Mackay, he was here at Mission Vision back in March. And I'll let him explain a little bit about what he does. No, your job title is you take people far from God and help them to get close to God.
Yeah,
that's his exactly job title. Yeah. And so he was here for the weekend doing some discipleship and evangelism training. It was awesome. The Friday night, he kind of laid out what we're going to do. Oh, and then tomorrow we're going to go out into the streets and share our faith. And so attendance dropped by like 20% from Saturday.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was awesome. Giving us real simple, repeatable biblical tools on how to share your faith, how to initiate conversations with lost people. And we went out and we did it, and God did some cool stuff. So we're going to have him share this morning. If you remember, this is Vision Month, and so our vision as a church is to glorify God, make disciples of Jesus, and to multiply ourselves. And this is what Danny does for a living. So we just thought it'd be awesome for him to share with us about multiplication and making disciples. So I'd love to pray for you, and then you can have at it.
Awesome.
So God, I just thank you for Danny. I thank you for his heart to make disciples and to reach lost people. God, would you just anoint him this morning with your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to preach your word with power and authority. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place that you would speak through Danny, that you would convict us and encourage us and inspire us to reach these almost 19,000 lost people in Fort St. John. Jesus, would you just equip us to go and multiply ourselves so that you would be made famous in Fort St. John, Jesus. And so we ask all of this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning, church. How are you today? Good. It is so good to be back here. I really enjoyed my time back here. Was it March, Andrew? Did you want your Bible? Yeah. You don't have it memorized? What kind of pastor? No, I'm joking. You know, it was really great being here. Actually, Andrew, can I ask something totally unplanned and maybe a little bit off the cuff? Could we get that whiteboard up here? Not up on the stage, but just somewhere around here for later. No hurry, just whatever. And I did that because I want him out of the room for a second. Honestly, you guys, he is a fantastic pastor. I hope you know that. Good. I'm glad to hear that. I travel a fair amount. I get to interact with a lot of different pastors. And that is one rare gem of a man who loves you, speaks well of you, loves you, is committed to the lost in this town. He doesn't just see himself as pastoring a church. He sees himself pastoring a city. And that is rare. And the conversations I've had with him, we have a hard time getting a lot of pastors unstuck in their vision to just grow their church in numbers, rather than really building the kingdom in their city and seeing an advance into lostness beyond them, whether the people come to their church or go anywhere else. It's a very unselfish vision that Jesus had to grow his kingdom. It wasn't about growing local bodies. It was about growing the kingdom, and he gets it. And Don as well, and Richard, and Al. It's just been a true, true joy and encouragement. Thank you, guys, to be here this weekend and to find that they were already on board. Because most of the work that we do, we're trying to have to help those pastors to see that. And then once they see it, we, you know, kind of do some baby steps. But I felt like, man, I better get caught up to where these guys are already dreaming. And that is rare and is beautiful and wonderful. So I honor, double honor the leaders among you and your pastor. It's a real joy. So thanks for having me. My name is Danny Mackay. It's a Scotsman trying to say Mackay, but it comes out Mackay. And that's as good as that gets. But I am from Manitoba, and it's thank you. So who's from Manitoba? Anybody else? Yeah, right on. We are a rare breed, aren't we? And but I had to fly from North Carolina to get up here, and it's just been a great thing. I work with E3 Partners. How many of you were at Mission Vision? I shared a little bit there. Okay, just a few of you. Okay. Well, I work with E3 Partners. Most people have not heard of it, unless you've been around missions for a long time, you might remember Global Missionary Fellowship. They changed their name to E3 Partners because it's a lot harder to get into closed countries with a title of a ministry called Global Missionary Fellowship. And so we switched to E3 Partners, and you might recognize I Am Second, which is a part of E3 Partners. E3 Partners gave birth to the I Am Second movement. How many of you have seen some of our videos? Okay, just a few of you. Well, if you go to imsecond.com, you'll see a whole bunch of different celebrities, from the Duck Dynasty folks to NHL stars to football players, actors, American idols, former prostitutes, inmates, gang members, band members, all kinds of things, where they share their story about how they were far from God and how now they're not far from God. And God uses these videos because many of them are celebrities from culture, and people Google them, and they love to research, you know, the Duck Dynasty and the Robertson family, and they might click on it, but then they'll land on one of our I Am Second videos, and they'll hear a story, the real backstory of that person, and they'll hear the gospel. And they'll hear about how that person, that celebrity, lived for themselves and put themselves first and hit rock bottom. But then as they encountered hopelessness and brokenness, they finally turned to Jesus. And when they put Him first and decided to start living second, that their life began to make sense. And that healing began to happen. And peace began to happen. And God restored them. And so now they end their videos with their name and they say, "And I Am Second." And it's a global movement that's gone to over 200 countries, where we literally are reaching tens of millions of people every year. Every day, 48,000 people watch one of our videos. Every day, the gospel goes out about 2,700 people on our missions teams as we reach into 50 different countries where there are no churches in certain areas. That's where we go primarily. We are planting 73 churches a day. Praise God. You know, and there is still so very much work to do. So very much to do. But what a joy to be a part of. We have about 450 staff just here in North America and about maybe 150 overseas. But praise God, we have a goal and we are well on track to planting 1 million churches by the year 2020. That is our vision. Our vision is that there will be no place left on this planet where there isn't a church within walking distance. Because as you know, in about 65 to 75% of the world, if you can't walk to church, you don't go to church. We can't just hop in a car and pick from 12 different churches in some of these countries. They are really limited to their very own community. And many of these entire cities with 8, 9, 12, 15 million people have no church, no missionary, no chance to hear the gospel. And so our calling that we feel as E3, the E stands for to equip the church, to evangelize the lost, and to establish His church. That's it. That's all we want to do. Everything that we do, from the videos, from the trainings, from speaking in churches or speaking at conferences, is to inspire and equip the church, to evangelize, to reach out to lostness, and to establish His church. As Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand up against it." And time and time and time and decade after decade, century after century, we see that Jesus is still building His church. Amen? It is exciting to be a part of. So that's a little bit of myself and I Am Second. Let me introduce you to my family. This is, next slide, brother. This is my wife, Naomi. And this is the only picture she'll let me show you of her that she has approved. And that's my wife, Naomi. We've been married for 20 years. This year is our 20th year. And we got married when we were 9. So there's that. And that's how they do it in Manitoba. It's a little different. And the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. So next slide, brother. So we had two fruits. And that's my son, Ethan. He's now 17. And my daughter, Samara, who is 15. It's about a one-year-old picture. So that one is not approved by my children. So please don't take pictures and tell them that this is the one I showed you. But they're amazing. And they've been on trips with me. My daughter has helped plant churches in Peru in churchless communities down there on a trip. She's led adults to Christ. She's helped me train pastors on how to share the gospel. And it's an incredible visual when a 14-year-old girl gets up and starts drawing the gospel and how to share the gospel to these pastors who think that, well, I'm the only one qualified to do it, right? It's my job. I have to teach and train. And they watch a 14-year-old do it, and they're like, oh my goodness, why have I been holding anybody back? And so she's been instrumental in helping us with that. And yeah, together we serve. Next slide, brother. We serve with I Am Second. But you can go to the next one. And this is really just the verse I want to talk about today. I'm not a huge, huge, deep theologian. I love the Word of God. I love experiencing the presence of God. I love to follow God. But if you want me to unpack a huge amount of Scripture and get super deep, you've got the wrong guy this Sunday. But I do want to talk about this. And I hope to inspire you a little bit to reach out to the world around you. And I hope to leave you with a very practical tool with which you can use, even starting today or even within the next 24 hours. But indeed, Jesus said this. When he sent out his disciples, he gathered them. There were 72 of them that he was discipling, and he'd already multiplied, and his disciples had already multiplied themselves. And now he had 72, and he was sending them out. And he said, look, listen, guys. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He was sending them out to the towns and to the villages. Jesus visited about 147 villages during his 3.5 years. He was on the move, sharing that good news, teaching his disciples along the way, showing them how to do ministry, how to connect. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then he said this. Do you notice? He did not say, therefore, pray for more harvest. He did not say that. He did not tell them to pray for more openness in the people. He did not say, pray that people will listen to you. No, he said, pray, therefore, that God will send out laborers. That's where the problem is. In Canada, we hear the statistics that the churches are shrinking, that numbers are shrinking, and doors are closing, and denominations are decreasing in the number of churches affiliated. You know what? And people think, oh, it's Canada. Canada's closed to the gospel. Canadians are becoming increasingly more irreligious and have nothing to do. They're very atheistic and other religions. And as we let in refugees, that, you know what? Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. Do you know what's on the decrease? Our sharing of the gospel. Our making of disciples. Our praying for laborers. That's why churches are closing. Not because Canadians aren't interested. But listen to this. We talked about it yesterday in the training. In fact, anybody from the training can come on up here and tell you more about this now. But 98% of North Americans never share their faith. 98%. 98%. Never share our faith. Never reach out to a lost person and share the gospel with them and lead them to Jesus. At the very most, a lot of us, for a lot of us, not all of us, but for a lot of us, the extent of our evangelism is to invite them to an address rather than inviting them to Jesus. You understand the difference? We invite them to church, but 65% of Canadians are uninvitable to church. Lifeway Research has conducted a survey, multiple thousands of people, different demographics across Canada, put this research together. 65% of Canadians would not go to church if invited. They're uninvitable. That means they're not interested in coming through these doors. No matter how many smoke machines we get. No matter how many great, good-looking, well-dressed Manitoban speakers. Why are you laughing? Do you know what I mean? No matter how great our programs are, no matter how beautiful our building is, they're not coming. They're not going to come. And Jesus told us the model for evangelism, and it's go and tell. But we have fallen into, as a North American church, come and see. It's a big difference. We're trying to invite them to an address rather than invite them to Jesus. And so 98% of us don't share our faith with regular folks that we work with every day, that we live beside, we drive by their homes every day, and yet we never stop and go and build a relationship, knock on the door, and go and share the gospel somehow, finding a way. We just don't. And a couple of the reasons why, there's a number of reasons, but the two biggest ones we found is we simply don't know how to even initiate the spiritual conversation. We get very nervous. We can talk to people. We can talk to a lot of people. We can be friendly. We can engage them, and talk about our lawn and talk about work and talk about the weather and the fish I caught and all that kind of stuff. But getting it on to the topic of Jesus, that's just a corner many of us don't know how to take. And so we struggle to initiate. Another reason is we simply, even if we do, somehow if that person finds out we go to church and they suck us into a spiritual conversation, we don't know what to say. We don't really know how to lead them to Jesus. We struggle with it. It's not a bad thing. We've never been trained, okay? We struggle with this. When I should say, it doesn't make us bad people. I'm not trying to lay this guilt. But we need to expose the reality of what we've fallen into, because it's been a long, slow landing to where we are now. So much so that we don't even notice. We just accept that this is the way it is. And so we want to say add to. Let's continue, because there are still 35% of Canadians who would love to come to church. There is still great value in getting together like this and encouraging each other and listening to good teaching and having our children and connecting and building on community and coming into the light and remembering that we're part of something bigger every week. But we need to add to what we do here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. We need to add to the daily initiating spiritual conversations with those that we work with and live with. And we need to add to the sharing of the gospel. We need to add training. Because in North America, we love to teach to know in our churches rather than train to do. We love inviting people to church and then hope that the pastor preaches that perfect sermon. And we put him, the heavy lifting on him. And we say, you do it, pastor. But Jesus has called us all into a go and tell. Into whatever situation you are in. Whoever you have around you that you know is already far from God. How many of you know people that are far from God? Right? Every single hand should be up. Yeah. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So I want to show you just a couple of examples of, and then end off with one that we experienced here this weekend, Andrew and I. But next slide, brother. This is a little girl named Heather. I don't know if you can make out that picture, if it's clear enough, but Heather there is learning right there how to share the gospel. She's practicing a small tool I'll teach you in a little bit called the three circles. She showed up to one of our trainings, 10 years old. She was the youngest person at our training. We had about 120 people in Birmingham, Alabama. And we talked about God wanting to use us, and we talked about 2 Corinthians 5:17 and on how, you know, we are therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you know, they become a new creation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as if God is making his appeal through us. And he's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so I said, you've got a ministry, you've got a message, and you are an ambassador. And this young girl said, teach me how. And so I spent a few minutes on the hood of a car teaching her how to do the three circles. And she volunteered and she said, I know where we can go. And I said, where? She said, into my neighborhood. There was a shooting yesterday. A guy was killed and shot 3 times across my street. He was shot 3 times. She said, I'm pretty sure they need Jesus. I'm from Canada. I said, are you kidding me? So, next slide, brother. She led us right into that neighborhood. She walked in front of us and said, I'll show you where it is. And she walked up to a house that was right across the street where there was somebody that was affected. And the whole street was impacted by this shooting because it was in broad daylight. And she led us to a house, and we started talking to the people there, and a little church was born. 10 years old. What's stopping you? On one of the most dangerous streets in her city. These people responded to the gospel instantly. All we had to do was show up. They weren't going to make their way to a church on Sunday morning. So we brought church to them. We went and walked amongst them and sat amongst them, listened to their stories, ate some of their southern fried chicken. Best chicken I've ever had. And we shared our story and we shared the gospel. And they believed in Christ and they are now continuing to meet as a friend of mine continues to do follow-up. 10 years old. Next slide, brother. I shared this story yesterday. I remember when I sat in one of my first trainings and they sent me on my first training trip. They sent me to Aruba and they said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Don't worry. God has prepared people for you to find ahead of time. All you got to do is be obedient and walk around. God will lead you and you'll find them. And I'm like, man, Aruba? Okay. You know, Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda. But, you know, I'm thinking, do you know how hard it is to raise money for a missions trip to Aruba? It's difficult. Because I'm thinking white, you know, beaches and sand and nice drinks and sunshine. And I'm like, this is going to be the easiest training trip. Friends of mine are going to the Middle East and into Asia. And I'm like, Aruba. There's a part of Aruba that doesn't make the brochures. And they dropped us off right in the heart of the slums and immediately was surrounded by prostitution, gangs, violence, drugs, 80% divorce rate in Aruba, 80%. So a whole generation of angry young people are just roaming the streets, destroying the country. And there we are. And I'm walking around on day one, morning one, and I'm with a pastor who is responsible for the area for follow-up, and he's never worked in this area before, so he's all excited about the church expanding. We're going out, go and tell. We're going to look for these persons of peace, these prepared people ahead of time. And I'm walking around, and I don't think I'm going to find anyone. I'm going to find a person of war rather than a person of peace, right? And then this is the first guy I see. His name is Clyde. And I stop him and I say, hi, Clyde. Or no, I said, hi, my name's Danny. What's your name? And he said, I'm Clyde. And I said, hi, Clyde. We're just here from Canada. We're just here to pray for people. Is there anything we could pray for you? And he looked at me and he's like, are you lost? And I said, no, man. I'm here to tell Aruba about Jesus. And he stood up out of his chair and he got super close in my face and I thought I was going to die. And he said, are you serious? I said, yeah, man, that's why I'm here. And he said, listen, last night I had a dream. And this man named Jesus appeared to me and he pointed at me and he said, you can be saved. And he said, I felt such peace, and I woke up, and I realized it was only a dream, and then he disappeared, and I've been up all night, I've been sitting in this chair, and I've been wondering, what does it mean, who is this Jesus, and what do I do next, and now you're here, please tell me, what do I do? And he received Christ in 45 seconds. I'm not joking. I shared the gospel, I said, well, wow. You know, and I shared the gospel on a simple little gospel tool. And I was like, is that something? Does that make sense? And he just put his arms up and he said, I am ready to give my all. I'm ready. Tell me what to do. So we led him in a prayer and he prayed it and he wept on the street. And you know, that week, 16 other people in that neighborhood gave their lives to Christ as we continued to disciple him and work with him. And that little church that was born is still going today. In fact, Clyde has gone on to go and start another church in another part of that city, with the goal of raising up another leader that can take over that one so that he can do another one. He has committed to reaching his city. And you see, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Unless we show up in the harvest, we're not going to experience these kinds of things. Next slide, brother. This is another quick story. I'm going to fly through this one. Was recently, is this being recorded at all?
Yep.
It is? Okay. Does it go online?
You don't have to.
That's okay. It's good to know. This was in a country in East Asia. And we were on a university campus there working in this one city alone. There are 30 universities in this one city. In this one city, there's 30 universities, and on each university, there are over 50,000 students. And there are only a small handful of Christian groups on three of them. So a lot of work to reach lostness there. But we were working with those three small Christian student groups, and they are committed to reaching as many students as they can with the gospel on their campus. Many of them at the risk of their own future, their own education, and their own freedom. And so we walked around and we were just looking for students that God had prepared ahead of time. We knew that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. So we're heading out. And I run into this young guy named, I don't know his Chinese name. I couldn't pronounce it. And so I asked him if he had an English name. So most young people there give themselves an English name, so in case they meet a Westerner, they can relate. But he didn't have one. And so I said, can I give you one? And he said, I would love that. So I named him Danny. So there's Danny and Danny. And this young guy, I walked up to him and I asked him, I said, hey, what kind of religion do you believe? Like, what do you believe? And he said, you know, it's sort of a mix of Marxism with some Taoism. And he said he kind of was really undecided. He's really just kind of just focusing on his education, and he figures he'll figure that stuff out later. And so I asked him, have you ever heard of Jesus? Listen to this. This is the power of the gospel. Have you ever heard of Jesus? And he said, not really. He says, I know he was a historical figure and that he was somewhat important, but that's all I know. How do you share the gospel with somebody like that? I'm so used to people who have some kind of background in Christianity or some kind of understanding of God or Christmas or Easter or this kind of thing. I've never talked to someone who's never really heard of Jesus. And so I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you this as a true, honest missionary. As I shared the gospel with him, it sounded stupid. Have you ever felt that? Has that ever happened to you where you're sharing something about the Bible or the God, and you're listening through their ears and you're listening to yourself and you're like, I sound nuts. He died, he rose again, then he ascended. You know, it sounded dumb, I'm being honest. But yet I know I would give my life for it. I believe it, but it sounds so dumb. And he's being so polite and he's like, yes. And he turns to my interpreter, what does that word mean? And she's like, yeah, what does that word mean? Oh, man. And so I'm fumbling through. I'm like, does that make sense? Do you understand now? And I had to change certain analogies that I usually use when sharing the gospel. And he finally understood that God made the world. We are all his children, but we all have done wrong. We have all been separated from him, but he still loves us. He sent his son Jesus. He gave his life. He died and paid the price. He rose again. He ascended on high, and he opened up the gates And he says, anyone who wants to turn from sin and seek him and believe in him can be saved, can have eternal life. When I finally got him to understand that, I said, is that something you'd like to do today? And he went, yes, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. And he received Christ right there. I started to disciple him that week, and I asked him, do you know anyone else who needs to hear this? And next slide, brother. The next day, he brought these friends, and they received Christ. And then by the end of the week, next slide, brother, can you just... Some of those are other interpreters that were helping, and but it grew. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Don't you want to be a part of that? I want to be a part of that. But we need to go. We need to start asking ourselves, who are the lost people in my life that God has given me? And then we need to start to pray for them regularly. And we need to come up with some intentionality of how we're going to reach them and when we're going to reach them. Our teams, we set goals of how many times we're going to share the gospel each week. A lot of times we put specific names to it and we hold each other accountable. We set the pattern in our life that this is what we're going to do. And we hold each other accountable. The next slide, brother. I don't know what the next one is. Oh, okay, yeah. Real quick, this young girl came up to me, was suicidal, depressed, cutting herself, asked me, why does God hate me so much? And she heard me speak at an I Am Second event. And I said, God doesn't hate you. Let me show you something. And I shared with her a simple gospel tool that I'm going to show you in a couple minutes. And she said, I've never heard that before. I said, do you understand how much God loves you now? As I shared the gospel with her, and she did, and she broke. And she asked Christ into her life. And then I asked her, I said, do you know anyone else in your life that needs to hear this? See, that's the key between winning a person to Christ or winning a whole village, is asking them, do you know anyone else that needs to hear this? And getting them on mission and discipling them and training them. And so I spent the next 10 minutes teaching her how to do the simple gospel tool. She did it 2 or 3 times, and she nailed it. And I said, now, what are their names? And she wrote down about 5 names of friends that she knows that are far from God. And I said, will you commit to reach them in the next 7 days? And she said, I promise. And she was so excited. She was like, I can't believe I feel like my heart is on fire. So I've never felt this before. She was experiencing the Holy Spirit. She was experiencing the joy of Christ. She was experiencing the peace of Christ. The peace I give you, the world can't give you, Jesus said. And she was experiencing it, and she was free. She went back into the concert. 10 minutes later, she came out. Next slide. And she had 6 friends with her. And she was like, can I share with them now? And I was like, you had 7 days. You took 10 minutes. And I watched her lead 3 of her friends to Christ right there within 20 minutes of being a Christian. Those kinds of disciples are out in the harvest. Yesterday, Andrew and I went out, and many teams went out after the training. Part of the training was, let's go and live this out. We went and knocked on the very first house. We felt led, we prayed, and we felt led to go towards the, what part of the city is that? Anfield. We went to Anfield. We weren't sure where in Anfield, but we wound up just kind of like, we got tired of just driving around, kind of waiting for some angelic appearance, you know, to sort of lead us, you know, some star that would stay over a house, you know, or some stable. So we right? Admit it, you were kind of looking for some, me too, right? Like, we're looking for some direction, but we're like, you know what? Let's pull over. And he pulls over and he's like, let's go in the trailer court. So put it in park. We get out, walk up to the house. Dun, dun, and this guy comes to the door, older gentleman, about, you know, in his 60s. And he walks up and he opens the door. And we said, hi, my name's Danny. This is Andrew. And we're just in the neighborhood praying for people. And we're just wondering, is there anything we could pray for you today? You know, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? And for the next hour, he just opened up his heart and his life and talked about how unworthy he feels before God and how much failure he has in his life. He had us pray for his back. He had us pray for his knees. He had us pray for his children. He had us pray for, you know, all kinds of things, his future, his uncertainty, everything. And he was very willing. We're like, we'd love to come back and share stories of Jesus with you. Andrew offered to come back, bring him a radio. And he was like, I would love that. And if you know anyone else that you'd like to invite, right? Do you know anyone else that you'd like to invite? And he was thinking through a few people he could invite. But we're praying that he might be that person of peace in that neighborhood. But we've got to go out. So let me give you two quick tools, and then I'm going to shut down by 10:30, okay? You don't want to get between church and lunch, I know that. It's like getting between a bear and its cub. One of the ways that is helpful to initiate spiritual conversations we have found is to ask the miracle question. This works with people you might meet at the gas station. It works with people you might know really well and have had a friendship with for a long time. Just ask them the miracle question. Ask them if there's anything you can pray for them. Say, hey, you know, if it's a friend you've known for a while, you know, hey, Carl, I've known you for a long time and I've been thinking about you lately and I'm just wondering, is there anything I could pray for you? If God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? Clarify with that miracle question. Because prayer to a lot of people means a lot of things. But just ask them, if God could do a miracle in your life. So repeat it after me. If God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? There you go. Ask your servers at restaurants. It's fun. We had a girl open up to us last night at supper. Kept coming back to our table and hung out with us and opened up a lot. We've had waiters sit down with us and take their break with us. Gas stations, airplanes, family members, co-workers. When you ask them that, if they say no thanks, I'm good, okay. Ooh, persecution in Canada is so intense. But go ahead and start asking. So that you can start the spiritual conversations. And then as it starts to roll, and as they open up, you know, pray for them. If they share something, just say, can I pray for you right now? And then pray for them. And then say, let me show you something. And then share the gospel with them. Here's a simple tool you can use. I hope you can see it. If you can't see it, try to. Yeah, can we? Let's do it. I'll share with you just a real simple gospel tool. Thanks, bro. This is something I like to do. Grab a piece of paper and just share it with them. I'll say, do you notice in the world today that there's just a huge amount of brokenness? You notice how, you know, there's all kinds of problems everywhere. You know, I turn on the news and I see, you know, ISIS fighting. I see wars. I see murders. I see racism, all kinds of collapse and disease and bombs and everything's going on. It's just like the world is just so broken. We all have some of that, you know, and it seems like people are just trying to figure out all these different ways to escape that brokenness. You know, they try different things. They might try money and pleasure, sex, or fame and relationships or drugs and alcohol. They try all kinds of things to run away from that brokenness. But most of those roads just lead to even more brokenness. It's kind of like running with a bungee cord strapped to your back. It just winds up pulling you back in even harder. Where does that come from? You see, God's original design did not include brokenness. He did not create the world with this brokenness. He created it perfect. He created an amazing paradise between us and him and us and each other. But man chose to leave that perfect world with God when he chose sin. And because of that, now we are experiencing all this brokenness and evil. We all have it within us, and we all see it outside of ourselves. And this is a one-way arrow, and there's no way for us to get back to God on our own. And so what he did was he sent his son Jesus. Now Jesus came down out of heaven and he walked this earth. He took upon himself our humanity and he stepped down into our brokenness. Even though he himself didn't have sin and brokenness, but he was broken for us and he took the penalty for us when he died on the cross. And God put on him all the punishment, all the judgment, all the guilt that was ours, and he died. But 3 days later, he rose again. And what he did is, unlike these temporary ways, Jesus opened up a permanent way. That if any one of us is willing to turn from our sin and believe in him, we can now begin to recover and restore our relationship with him, or recover and pursue. We can now have that relationship that we lost with him. And there's two kinds of people: those that have a right relationship and are walking in fellowship with him, or those that are still far from him and still trying to figure out different ways to deal with their brokenness. Now, which one are you? And which one would you like to be? You can share that with somebody. Does that make sense? All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 4 or 5 minutes before we close and just turn to a person beside you and just share that with them. Okay? Go ahead. We get to talk in church. Isn't that fun? Yeah. We're doing a training, not just teaching. Right? You don't just get to be a spectator. Let's have some fun. Go ahead. Grab a piece of paper if you want one. Borrow a piece of paper. And just go ahead and practice. Don't worry about it if you get it perfect. Do it in your own words. You can look up here as a cheat sheet if you need it. Well, I pray that that's helpful for you. Sorry if I'm interrupting some people, but we need to start closing. But I pray that's helpful for you. The miracle question is such a ready tool for engaging people when you're at a gas station, when you're at the Walmart, and you just wind up getting into a conversation. And then being able to articulate the gospel clearly to somebody and invite them to Jesus is so very important for every single one of us to be able to do. And as we start to find those people in the harvest that are ready, we can start to disciple them. And we've been doing some training, and so if you have more questions, you want to get plugged in, you missed the training, but you'd like to get caught up, Andrew will very much, and others will be able to get you caught up, because it's very simple, very biblical, and very repeatable, and that's on purpose, is so that it can be given away easily and shared. And we're just so thankful. I ask for prayer for a couple of things. One is, we're taking a team into the Amazon in about 4 weeks. We head out, we fly to Lima, Peru, and then we are taking a 2-hour van ride into a place called Tarapoto. And from there, we go onto a speedboat and go 6 hours into the jungle. And then we get into some dugout canoes and we paddle out to the Shawi people, who are very, very, very deep in the Amazon jungle. There is currently no known believers amongst them. They are an unreached tribe. And they will cut your head off when you show up. Anybody else want to come? It's from October 16th to the 25th, but the 25th is kind of open-ended. Let me explain a little more. I'm the worst recruiter ever for mission trips. But we do actually have an in with them. One of our nationals who works on the ground has developed some friendships with a nearby tribe who has connections into them. And so they have been able to prepare the way, and they have actually welcomed us. And so they are expecting us, and they are anticipating us, and they have given us their blessing to come and visit. So this is historical. This is groundbreaking. And we are showing up fully believing that Jesus has gone ahead of us, and that we are going to bring the gospel, and we are going to heal the sick. We're probably going to have to cast out some demons and just help bring the kingdom of God to them and tell them that the kingdom of God is near, just like Jesus told us. And so this is the Shawi people. So I invite you, if anything triggers a memory in your head, whether it's something you see on TV or you hear somebody else say, and you remember, oh yeah, there's this team that is going, would you please pray for us? We really, really do need your prayers. Also, my wife and I are in the midst of fundraising and getting our support. We had a $24,000 a year donor who's been helping us the last 3 years, who won't be able to in 2017. So we're in sort of that faith-filled panic mode. You know how they intersect like that as missionaries. And so if God has put it on your heart, if you'd like to be a part of our ministry and support us financially with just a little bit every month, I have a sign-up sheet at the info desk. Please drop your name down, and I'll at least add you to our newsletter. I'll probably send you a giving link if you'd like, but I'll add you to our newsletter as well. So you can sign up for either one. If you sign up for the newsletter, you're not obligated to sign up for any giving, but that would be really, really helpful. We wrap our arms around our support team. We do life with them. We phone them. We find out how they're doing. We check in on them. We share what's going on, all the inside, behind the scenes, good, bad, and ugly that goes on in the life of missions. But if you have some room in your giving to help us out with that, we're looking for about 100 new families. And so if that's something that God's tapping you this morning, please feel free to sign up. I'd love to share more with you and get to know you better. But guys, thank you so much for having us. It is a real joy being here. I will be back. Andrew and I have already talked about some future plans and next steps and coming back and helping this. But God bless you guys. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for having me and for listening. I know it's hard to listen for almost an hour, but can I just quickly close in prayer? And then we'll dismiss you or allow the worship band to come up. Is that what's next? We're good? Okay. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us, God. And thank you that somehow, in some way, the gospel reached us. Through the obedience of somebody else. Thank you. And God, may it not stop with us, but may it now travel through us and into the lives of many others. And God, where we have held back the gospel from someone, Lord, we apologize and we repent for that right now in Jesus' name. We confess that we've done that. We've been afraid, we've been nervous, or we've pre-qualified them as being uninterested. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we hit reset. We thank you for your forgiveness. And God, I pray not for opportunity, but I pray for courage to share the gospel this week. I pray that many of us will ask the miracle question this week and that we will share the gospel with somebody that is in our life. And God, I pray that you'd go ahead of us and you'd prepare people. You'd prepare our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends, even our family members, those we may have lost touch with, or someone who just suddenly appears out of nowhere that we weren't even expecting. God, give us eyes to see when you are preparing somebody and giving them to us. Let us be open eyes, open ears, and open hands when it comes to the gospel. And I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And if anybody in this building, in this moment, in the name of Jesus, needs any physical healing over any bones or muscles or tendons or tissue or even emotions or their spirit or their body in any way, all sickness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Pain, go in Jesus' name. God, I release healing, your healing ointment that brings life into every body, every mind, and every spirit in this place. And God, may we walk out healed in the name of Jesus and be able to heal others. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we bless your name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for having me.